has risen.
Amen. Yeah? It's awesome. This is Easter. This is the best Sunday of the entire year. And I hope you understand that. Will read that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And guess what? That's us. That's us. We didn't get to touch him. We didn't get to test him and see the holes in his hands. We are blessed. Do you believe? That is the question. The only question that matters. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was resurrected from the dead? Do you believe? Thomas, doubting Thomas, he got that name just because of the passage Will read, doubting Thomas, said, "Nope, even though you tell me about him, I'm not going to believe it unless I can see the nail marks in his hands, unless I can put my hand in his side." Have you ever thought about that passage? That is a really gross passage. This was where the spear went into Jesus' side. You want to put your hand there? Ooh, it's kind of gross. Kind of gross. So how long before he had the opportunity to do just that? Thomas makes this statement, and I think somewhere in our brains we get scrambled up, and we think this was right away. It wasn't. It was a whole week later that Jesus appeared again. And imagine what that week was like, with all the disciples and the women so excited. And Thomas is going, "Not going to believe it. Not going to believe it. Not going to believe it." Nobody we know is like Thomas, right? How about lots of people we know are like Thomas? Maybe you are like Thomas. I was at the Y last week, and there was a class I joined in. I'm trying to figure out a class that I like and getting to meet lots of neat folks. And the lady that was leading the class was talking about Easter. She was excited because she was cooking Easter dinner for the first time. And something possessed her to share. You know, we all needed to know about her Easter dinner, right? But it was a good break from the exercise we were doing. And she said, "How many of you celebrate Easter?" There are like 14 women in this group. Do you know how many raised their hands? 4. I was shocked. Not even a secular celebration. Or maybe they celebrate, but they didn't want to admit it, which to me was almost worse. And I thought, wow, there's our mission field. There's our mission field. What did Thomas say when he finally got to see Jesus? He didn't say, "Teacher!" He didn't say, "Savior." He said, "My Lord and my God." Lord, Kyrios. That's the word where we get Kyrie. When we're singing Kyrie eleison, that's the word Lord. It means master. It means owner. It's what a slave would call his or her master. Supreme in authority. This is Thomas's reaction. And God, Theos, the one true God, the supreme being, the only one worthy of worship. In calling Jesus God, Thomas is proclaiming that he and the Father, that Jesus and the Father, are the same. They are God. So the question is, who do you say he is? I preached on this a couple of weeks ago. Who do you say that this man we're celebrating today, who do you say he is? Do you believe? There are lots of barriers to believing. For Thomas, he had to see it. Have to see it to believe it, right? Very common. Won't believe it unless I can see it. What prevents people today from believing in Christ? What prevents people today? Society. And I'll say more about that, Kathy, because it's not politically correct these days. It's not. To proclaim that Jesus is the only way is seen as arrogant. And yet, in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't get any clearer than that one. It's not logical to believe in Christ. It's not logical. It wasn't logical at the beginning. Even the people that had the chance to see him. And I love what Paul writes to the Corinthians, because they're struggling, which means, wow, if they're struggling this early on, no wonder we struggle too. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. He calls in this passage Christ being crucified a stumbling block. A stumbling block and foolishness. And I know people who will look me in the eye and say, being a Christian, that's foolish. This is dumb. And they want a debate. They want the logic to be there. There's a story of a father who, his wife woke him up in the morning, said, go downstairs and make breakfast for the kids. It's your turn. Grumble, grumble, grumble. He didn't want to go downstairs, didn't want to make it. And she finally, she said, get up, make breakfast for the kids. Nobody's ever experienced this, I'm sure. And so he goes downstairs and he's slamming the cabinets and doing all this stuff, and he makes breakfast for the kids, but he makes a total mess of it. And the wife comes downstairs and she's furious. You know what she does? She sends him to his room, which is where he wanted to be in the first place. And he says, you see, we who are dumb are not so dumb. It's true for us as Christians. We may seem dumb, or we're not so dumb. We're not so dumb. Another barrier, misbelief, wrong belief. There are some who believe that they're not worthy of God. They cannot believe that God would love them. They cannot believe that God would forgive them. They think that Jesus wouldn't want to save them. And if he were invited into their hearts, Jesus would say no. And that is a lie. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever invites me in, do you remember? I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. It doesn't say, if you're good enough. He takes us exactly where we are and invites us to be with him. But there's a bigger problem. There's a bigger barrier to people believing than these. You know what it is? The number one reason that people say they will not believe in Jesus Christ is Christians. Ouch. The hypocrisy of Christians. This is the statistics. Overwhelming reason is Christians. I follow Facebook. Some of you know that. And I had a post sent to me last week. It's amazing what's sent to you when you're a pastor during Holy Week. It's kind of fun. And this one really captured my imagination. And I want to share it with you. I wish all churches this Sunday would plaster signs everywhere saying, under construction, please excuse the mess, employees in training, under new management. Because the new dress, the squeaky clean shoes, the wrinkle-free pants, and the immaculate makeup are just our way of compensating for the corrupt, the unspeakable, the hidden, the appalling corners of our hearts and minds that repulse the very Savior that we're celebrating. If you're visiting a church this Sunday, and some of you are, amidst cheery children's rooms and perfectly timed sound transitions, thank you, George, you will also see and hear the following. Maybe not all of them here, but at some church, you will hear these. Someone yelling at their kid in the parking lot, in the bathroom, in the car. Somebody boasting about something that makes them look ridiculous. Someone browsing social media during the sermon. Good. Didn't catch anybody this time. Someone whose kid you know has completely fallen off the deep end despite their Christian upbringing. There are a lot of us that understand that one. Someone silently fighting with their spouse. They're all smiles, but... Someone requesting prayer for their hair to get better because this other girl doesn't know what she's doing. Someone you just saw wasted at the bar last night, or maybe the night before. Someone you remember back in high school that wasn't very nice. Someone taking scripture way out of context. Somebody gossiping, lying, judging, acting like they've got it all together when they don't. There's a lot of that going around. That someone is us, and we are sorry. Our name tags should be the addictions, the battles, the sins we are daily in recovery from. We have lost the discipline of confession in today's church, and it's too bad. Our deeds should be doused in humility because of the humility Christ displayed on that cross. Our words should be weeping with grace because of the grace we've been shown. And our thoughts should be that of thankfulness for the only sacrifice that would atone once and for all. And that's what we're celebrating today. Wow. Do we get it? That we are a barrier. All too often. And that's something that we can change. If you choose to go, it says, to a Bible-believing church this Sunday, and you did, thank you, I pray you'll find Christ here, among the someones. Please don't put your hope in sin-saturated someones. Put your everything in the Savior who is waiting for you. The one who said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, Jesus said, so that you may have life and have it in abundance. Go ahead and ask us about life and abundance. We might not have anything tangible to show you, but we can tell you story after story about how God has saved each one of us over and over and over again. Long story short, don't let the new clothes and the shiny faces fool you. We are the biblical definition of a hot mess. But by the grace of God, we're working on it. We're working on it. Now, for those of you who say we do believe, right? If I ask for a show of hands, I'll bet most hands would go up that you do believe. You proclaim, I am a Christian. Praise God. Praise God. But do we really believe to the fullness we are called to believe? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. In Mark 9, there was a man who brought a demon-possessed son to the Lord. Okay? He came and he asked for healing. And Jesus asked the boy's father How long has he been like this? Listen to the father's response. From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That's a beautiful verse. That's a beautiful verse. It's okay to doubt. Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. Do we believe that Jesus is God? The attributes of God. Let's see if you've heard these before. These are great words. I had to go to seminary to get all the definitions. Omniscient. Omnipresent. Omnipotent and immutable. Clear as mud. Right? Omniscient. Do we live as if we know that God knows everything? Do we realize that? He knows all of it. Omnipresent. Do we live as if we know that God is right here and right there and right there? He's everywhere. He's right with us. You can't escape. Psalm 139, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Ooh. Do we think we can hide? Omnipresent. God is everywhere. Omnipotent. Do we recognize that God is all powerful? All powerful. And immutable. Do we understand that God is the same yesterday? Today, you know this, and tomorrow. He is the same. We may be unfaithful, but he never is. And again I ask, do we believe? Do we believe that he's Lord? If we believe he's Lord, we do our best to follow what he teaches. If we believe that he is Lord, he is our top priority. He is number one. And if he's not, then we are not believing that he is Lord. I suspect that most of us, if not all of us, have a way to go in that one. But like the boy's father, I pray, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Let it be said of us, the same thing that Peter wrote to the believers in his time. Peter, one of the main followers, the one upon Christ, one upon which Christ built his church. He writes this in 1 Peter. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. He is risen! He is risen! Hallelujah! You know what? I burn a lot more calories preaching than you do listening. Just saying. Just saying. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, give us that joy. Let us be so excited about you that we can't contain it today or any day. Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, for those here who may not know you, Lord, I pray that they will pray this prayer and will say, Lord God, forgive me. Forgive me for those things that I know are not pleasing to you. I need you. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help my unbelief. Lord, for those who have believed for a long time, help us to grow in our faith. Help us to grow in our awareness that we are barriers to those who could believe, but they look at us and say, No, I don't want to be like that person. Help us be the ones that they go, I want what he has. I want what she has. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. It's in your name we pray, and everybody says, amen.